Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, if you would, please. My brother Mike and I were speaking last week, and this was before he came down sick, and he is desirous to spend a little time, as he did last year, with his family around the holiday season, and he wants to look into preaching a little more, spending a little more time preparing for sermons and stuff like that. So we've decided to switch Bible study leaders again for a period. He'll continue with the book that he's in once he returns, probably sometime after the conference or so. And I've received lots of encouragement to continue in the series that I started previously. We called it Divine Declarations, and I want to continue with that. There are many who say that they were very blessed with these studies, so I am led to continue in this line. We began with a very basic declaration, speaking of divine declarations, and the declaration was the fact that this book that God has given us, these words, itself is the very inspired word of Him who is divine. God's Word. All that we read in these scriptures, God inspired men to write. That's right. And everything that is written points us to His divine Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This entire book is a declaration of who Christ is. What Christ has done, is doing, and will do. And for whom He has done all things for. God has set His love upon a people. He has set that love upon them before the stars were ever put in place. Scripture tells us that. And because of that perfect, perfect love for His chosen people, a covenant was made between the great three in one. God the Father gave a people to His Son. God the Son saved those chosen ones from their sins. And God the Spirit would call each and every one of them, drawing them out of the darkness that they walked in and placing them in the light of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the declaration that He, the Lord Jesus, is God, the God-man. There is only one God. There will be no others before Him. We looked at the declaration that all mankind have come into this world with the nature of death, dead in trespasses and sin, completely depraved of any ability to help ourselves, nothing we have to offer God, let alone anyone else. We looked at the declaration that there is only one sacrifice God will accept as the payment for sin, and He Himself is that sacrifice. We looked at the declaration that God has chosen a people unto Himself. And this morning, I would like to lead us through some scripture where our Lord declares His people, as He puts it here in Hebrews chapter 7, if you're with me. Join me in reading verse 24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now the first thing we want to notice here is it says this man who was born of a virgin, the only one who did not come into this world with a fallen nature, perfect in all that he is, in all that he did then, and all that he is doing now, perfect in everything. He's God. He has to be perfect. God is perfect, the very word perfect. Holy, so holy that he cannot even look upon sin, mankind. He is God in the flesh, and all that He does is perfect in every way, including including the saving of those who he has loved from eternity past to eternity future. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people. No ifs, no buts. Who could pull you from God's hand? If you could be pulled, then he wouldn't be God, would he? This man, this Jesus, continueth ever. He may not have been in the flesh, but he has always been God and he has always been Jesus. There has always been the three in one. And as God, his salvation is perfect. It cannot be thwarted. It cannot be changed. There will be no empty seats in heaven. This word, uttermost, means uttermost. It comes from, the very word comes from two other words. The word pas. And allow me to read the Strong's Dictionary definition of it. It comes from a primary word of all, any, every, the whole, always, any, ever, ever, as many as thoroughly, whatsoever, whole. The second word that it comes from, that they take that word from, is telos. Again, from the Strong's Dictionary, it comes from a conclusion of an act or state, a result, a continual custom, finally, finite, uttermost, complete. He can save his people to the uttermost. There's nothing left. When he's done it, it's done. I find that last definition most interesting. Finally, finally, final, complete. It is most assuring to know that my Lord has paid it all. The reason it's so assuring is because I know that my condition, I know what I am. I know I am weak. I fail all the time. Oh, how often I praise the Lord and then I turn around and fail. And I hear it doesn't get any better until after I've gone to be with the Lord. I know the worm that I am. I know how destitute I am when it comes to God. Lord, help me not to raise myself above what I am. Help me not to be the Pharisee that he shows us in Scriptures. Whatever it takes, Lord, don't let me go there. I know that my salvation is of the Lord, and that it is to the uttermost. He has not left a dot undone or a T that hasn't been crossed. Turn over to Colossians 2, if you would. You see, folks, I stand before you complete, because God has provided himself my substitute. He was made to be sin for me, that I would be made righteous in him. Those who come to God by Christ are complete in him. Are you with me in Colossians chapter 2? Look at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Philosophy and vain deceit. Beware of these men who come preaching another gospel. A false gospel that gives glory to men. Have you ever heard one speak of when they came to their idea of a Christ? I can't tell you how often I've heard the story from so-called Christians of, 1999, I found the Lord. I was looking, I finally found Him. I came to the Lord. I quit doing the foolish things that I was doing. I quit drinking, quit smoking, quit cussing, quit hanging out wherever, quit doing this. I'm so much better. Doesn't that sound like the Pharisee? Lord, thank you that I'm not like that man over there. It's as though they were attending a better themselves seminar rather than hearing the gospel preached of God. I'm so much a better person. I found Christ. I don't know about any of you, but I never found Christ. He found me.
Amen.
I wasn't looking. But He knew right where I was at. In fact, He put me right where I was at so that I would come to this church and hear His word gospel, His gospel preached. You don't need to turn there, but it tells us in Scripture, in Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's God's word. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet, swift to shed blood, and destruction and misery are in their ways. That's walking in darkness. That's exactly where I was headed before the Lord brought me to this building and led this man to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified to me. I didn't know it. I had no idea. I thought I was a pretty good guy. I'd never killed anybody. And then I saw how I have sinned against the one who created me. See, the idea that man has a free will and God is wanting them to use it, that's pretty contrary to God's word. Beware of vain deceit, the traditions of men, rudiments or principles of the world, and are not after Christ, as it says at the end of that verse. The principles of this world is death everlasting. Again, you don't need to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 3:18, it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We preach Christ and Him crucified, for that is the wisdom of God. Salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. And His work is enough. Look at verse 9. For in Him, speaking of Christ, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. To worship the Father, you must worship the Son. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And if you be in Him, you are complete. For Christ does not save part way. He does not do something and then leave the rest to men to do. Men fail at what they do. No, He perfectly saves His people to the uttermost. And if ye be in him, you are complete, saved to the uttermost, white, as pure as the driven snow, righteous before God. Turn over to John chapter 6, if you would, please. I want to take a moment and say, and I want to share with you, I know we had a testimony night last week, but allow me to bring just, we have time, a quick testimony. My Lord and Savior has been so gracious to me in bringing Bill Silva into my life. I talk to him every day on the phone. He hears about these Bible studies and messages that the Lord lays on my heart long before I ever even put anything on paper. And so many times, somewhere in our conversation, I'll say, oh, like I did the night before his surgery. It was Wednesday night. Darn it, Bill, you're not going to be there for Sunday. Lord laid a good Bible study on my heart. I'm thinking about talking about being saved to the uttermost. And Bill, you know how he, having his difficulty speaking, he said, John chapter 6. Just like that. First thing that came to his mind. And sure enough, as I'm going through the Bible study and looking at all the different things that I could go to, there's so much to go to, but it's not just this time. I can't tell you how often the Lord has done that for me. Just Bill pop up with something right out of nowhere. First thing comes to mind, John chapter 6. I wanted to share that with you. I want you to know how thankful I am that the Lord has brought that man into our lives. God has used my dear brother Bill so many times to inspire parts of my studies and messages. So now I ask, how you may ask, how can I be a part of this Christ that we have been speaking of till now? How can I be a part of this Christ? Are you with me in John chapter 6? Look at verse 28. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is the work of God.
Yes, sir.
It's not your free will. This is the work of God. You can't believe on Christ unless Christ has come into your heart and given you life to believe. You can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ where it says, whosoever believeth on me shall have everlasting life. You're not going to believe on that Christ until Christ has given you life, given you ears to hear, a heart to believe. This is the work of God. That ye believe on him and whom he has sent. This is the work of God, and only God can give life, and that life is through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he gives life to all that the Father hath given him. Look over to the next page, verse 38. And our Lord says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day.
Amen.
And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. If you have never heard these truths before, If you're asking, how can I be a part of this Christ that you're speaking of? I ask you this, are you in Christ? Do you see the Son of the living God revealed according to Scriptures through the preaching of His Word? If so, then may you praise the Spirit who has given you life and revealed the only true and living God, Jesus Christ the Lord, sovereign ruler over all that is, Savior to the uttermost of all of His people. Amen.